Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for January the 29th, 2018. This is David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey, good evening, David, and good evening, everyone. Tonight we have plenty of news and information to report, which will be of interest to veterans as well as those still serving in the military. Our lead story tonight is about the programs offered by the U.S. Small Business Administration to help veterans who are interested in starting their own businesses. But first, I'll remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions, so you can call us anytime during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. And as I said, this is a call-in show. This is the Veterans News Hour. Veterans, we are here for you to listen to whatever comments you want to make about what's going on in your life, whether it's dealing with the VA or something else. So please call in and share whatever's going on with your life, and we look forward to hearing from everyone. But for now, over to you, David.
Thanks. We've talked a lot in the past about VA benefits, but we want to shift gears tonight and talk about veterans who are leaving military and want to start their own business. So in making that transition from military to civilian life, many veterans wonder, how can they go about starting their own business? The Small Business Administration, or the SBA, offers support for veterans as they enter the world of business ownership. The SBA website offers lots of very helpful information about business funding programs, business training, and federal contracting opportunities. This website is easy to remember. It's sba.gov/vet. That's SBA, as in Small Business Administration, .gov/vet. Now, within the SBA, there's an office called the Office of Veterans Business Development, which is devoted exclusively to promoting veteran entrepreneurship. This office facilitates the use of all the SBA programs, of which there are quite a few. It wants to facilitate and help veterans use those programs, and that includes veterans, service-disabled veterans, reservists, even active duty members, members that are transitioning from active duty to civilian life, as well as their family members, and even survivors of veterans. So these SBA programs include assistance to provide access to capital, as well as preparation for small business opportunities. They also connect veteran small business owners with federal procurement and commercial supply chains, which is very important. Now, the Veterans Business Outreach Program is one of the initiatives that oversees the Veterans Business Outreach Centers across the country. Now, this small business program has a number of success stories and offers business plan workshops, concept assessments, mentorship, and training for eligible veterans. Now, one example of a success story of many involves Greg Lyles, a retired U.S. Air Force Master Sergeant, his wife, Jennifer, and their two sons, who always enjoyed barbecuing as a family. When a fundraising opportunity arose in 2012, the family decided, what better way to participate than to sell their barbecue for a good cause? Well, little did they know that this small fundraiser would then turn into an informal catering business called Lyle's Barbecue Food Truck, and ultimately it transitioned today into a standalone restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky called Lyle's Barbecue Company. Along the way, they had some help and advice from the Small Business Administration, and we have a November 2017 clip from the VA, thanks to the VA for this, describing the Lyles family experience. So I'll ask our producer, Don, to please roll that first tape now about the Lyles family experience.
Boots to Business is an entrepreneurial training program offered by the U.S. Small Business Administration to support transitioning service members and veterans. Here's a look at one of their success stories.
My name is Chandler Lyles, and I'm one of the owners of Lyles Barbecue Company located in Lexington, Kentucky. Lyles Barbecue is different than every other barbecue joint out there because not only do we have excellent service and a friendly environment, but we really focus on the food here. So that's everything from making the meats in an authentic, slow-smoked southern way to all of our sides are made from scratch daily.
Chandler kind of caught the bug from me and his mom doing barbecue on the weekends, and he learned a lot by our trial and error.
And then when I separated and my dad and mom retired from the Air Force, we all moved back to Lexington. And we had always wanted to be business owners. We were looking for our own thing. So we decided to open up a little roadside barbecue stand.
Transitioning out of the Air Force, Boost to Business gave us the foundational knowledge that we needed to understand how to manage budgets and cash flow and marketing, inventory management. All those things, you know, allowed us to not make as many mistakes as we probably would have without the course. The great thing about the SBA is that they're a strategic partner in helping small businesses grow their business.
In business, you've got to get into the trenches and really do the day-to-day stuff to see if you can make it. But you have a lot better chance of survival if you have a really strong foundation. And that's what a program like Boots to Business with the SBA did for us.
Some of the best advice I could share with individuals getting ready to separate from service and they're thinking about starting a business, start trying to prove your concept now. See if someone will actually buy your product or service.
Start as small and as narrow as you can in the beginning. It's going to do two things for you. One, it's going to prove to yourself if you even want to do that business with as little risk as possible. And the second thing is, the market's going to tell you if your product's worth it or not. We started in a tent 3 years ago, and in just this short amount of time, we've built a business from nothing to over $1 million in sales with almost no debt on it at all.
If you're thinking about starting a family-owned and operated business, then the key is defining everyone's roles and understanding that, you know, there's somebody in charge or somebody that's going to be the ultimate decision maker.
I am the ultimate decider. Not hardly. Unfortunately, not ever. I have to definitely listen to Chandler, which is kind of an odd dynamic, but at the same time, you know, that's kind of our personalities. And the beautiful thing about our family is that everybody really brought something different to the table.
My mom is the heart of the business. She does all the operations stuff day to day. All of our managers report to her, and she's really cultivating that environment of when you're eating here, you're eating at her house. My dad is a jack-of-all-trades guy. Without him, our company wouldn't be to this point because he's saved us a ton of money doing maintenance. He has helped us do deliveries. And without that support and being able to bounce ideas off of him from my position of, hey, what do you think about doing this? What do you think about doing that? That's invaluable, having that sort of experience come to the table. And then my role is the storyteller of the brand. My job is to give you a reason as a first-time customer to connect with us and then get into the door. We've done almost zero advertising outside of social media. We've got a full-time video guy that does a ton of work for us. We take a ton of photos on our phones, making our product look good. We show our staff. You know, we're all about every day telling little stories so that it adds up over the course of time to a big story that your customers connect with. I wouldn't trade the hours spent cooking barbecue with my family on the weekends back in high school for anything. And then to be able to take that feeling and bring it to a larger audience every day at our actual restaurants is really what's made us successful. Running a business is like being on a roller coaster. You know it's gonna be fun and you know it's gonna be awesome, and then once you're on it, it's up and down and it's scary and then it's the best and then it's the worst and it's really all over the place. But by the time 60 years from now the ride ends, I'm gonna look back and go, I'm really glad I got on.
SBA provides all kinds of services to veterans, military family members, and members of the Guard and Reserve who want to start and grow a business. Those include the training program, Boots to Business, but it also includes other training programs specifically for service-disabled veterans, women veterans, and military spouses. And business acumen doesn't come with just training. You also need some opportunities. Opportunities can be introduced through federal contracting, where the government is going to spend 3% of the entire spend with service-disabled veterans. We can get get you ready for those opportunities as well. And finally, money. Everyone wants to know about what money's available for business. SBA.gov will tell you more about it. And veterans and service members and military spouses are eligible for fee relief on the loans that SBA guarantees.
To learn more about Boots to Business and other SBA resources for veterans, visit sba.gov/vets.
Thanks, Don. And then another success story that we'd like to present tonight is about a Navy sailor, Michael Stacks, and his wife, who used Small Business Administration assistance to start a brewery business called Bold Mariner Brewing Company in Norfolk, Virginia, while Michael was still on active duty in preparation for when he retired from the Navy. We have a July 2016 clip from the Small Business Administration about the Bold Mariner Brewing Company and how the SBA helped this military family get into business. Don, if you'd please roll the second tape now.
I'm Michael Stacks. I'm the owner of the Bold Mariner Brewing Company. I'm active duty Navy. I've been in the Navy for 18 years. I'm currently on shore duty. I started the Bold Mariner Brewing Company now to help with my transition towards retirement within the next 2 years. It was always my intention after retiring from the Navy to take my homebrew hobby and passion and turn it into a professional career. When I decided to start planning the business, I found the SBA website and the free resources. And there's also a section that lets you know about the Veteran Business Outreach Center. Luckily enough, there was one right here in the same city that I live in, so it was easy for me to get started.
The day that Michael walked into my office, I knew this man was on a mission. I said, we're going to make this happen, and we're going to do it as a team. Because if you have the drive and the desire for whatever it is you want to do, and you combine that with the resources of the SBA, the resource partners, you've got a recipe for success.
As the business plan is being prepared, we also start to look at the funding plan, and that's when Cheryl Lynn asked me to spend a lot more time with Michael, focusing on how much capital he'd need to get a loan from the bank, how much capital he'd need to be successful, and the types of things he might want to consider for the longer term. One of the sources Michael used, besides getting an SBA loan, was he actually raised over $35,000 through crowdfunding.
Opening a brewery is very capital intensive. It was critical that we were able to get a SBA guaranteed loan, and we had to do a number of other things. One of the topics that they go over in Boots to Business is bootstrapping, and when you bootstrap a business, you have to do a lot of things on your own. The build out and the construction in this building is where we put a lot of our sweat equity into cleaning up this big old warehouse and getting it in shape for bringing in the brewing equipment. Now that the business is up and running, I still have 2 years left in the Navy. I hired a brewer to help me out with the brewing operations. And also my wife, Carrie, knows the business as well as I do. She's there if for some reason I were to have to go on deployment or leave the area. I know that the company's in good hands.
It's always been a dream for him to open a brewery. I just maybe never took him seriously. But having the whole family be a part of it is huge. Without the support of your spouse or your children going through it, you can't do it. You just have to bear down and do it together. And seeing it come together makes it all worth it.
When you're starting your own business, you could find yourself being from the janitor to the CEO. You're mopping floors downstairs, and then you go upstairs and you do the books, marketing, and you're calling distributors. And then before you know it, it's opening time and you're downstairs and your customers start coming through the door. So having the support of others, not just your family, but the experts that you can get put in touch with, those resources, you have to have them. So to anybody that's in the military starting to think about your retirement, if you are planning to become an entrepreneur, the earlier you start, the better. I would recommend looking at the transition programs, going to Boots to Business. Start before you go on terminal leave. It takes a year, 2 years, 3 years to get a business started. So don't wait until your retirement party to start figuring out what you're going to do next.
thanks, Don. I think those were two very interesting success stories. And if you're interested in finding out more, both of those businesses, Lyle's Barbecue Company and Bold Mariner Brewing Company, are alive and well. You can Google their names and find their company websites and learn more about them if you're in Lexington, Kentucky or Norfolk, Virginia. So we wanted to share that. We got more information about the SBA programs, but before we go to that, Rick, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's great stuff. My grandfather once said to me a long, long time ago that if you have an idea, you can make a lot of money. Obviously, these veterans have some ideas and have some great experiences and some great support and some support from the VA with the SBA. So my hat's off to them and hope they do very well and profit for themselves and their families. David, but can you tell us more about how the Small Business Administration can, with the tough issue of funding, help get a small business up and running?
Yes, I sure will. That's a great question. And what I'd like to do is just momentarily take a break. I have some good information about the SBA program. As far as the tough issue of funding, which is, you know, an obstacle that many people feel or face, the issue of funding for veteran-owned small businesses, the SBA has tools like Lender Match to connect with lenders. In addition, the SBA also makes special consideration for veterans through several programs. Lender Match is a free online referral tool that connects small businesses with participating SBA-approved lenders. All you need to do to access this free online referral tool is go to the website. Grab your pen and paper. The website is sba.gov/lendermatch. So that's a free online referral tool. It connects small businesses with participating SBA-approved lenders. Again, that's sba.gov/lendermatch. Some other programs that the SBA has includes the SBA Veterans Advantage, which offers guarantees on loans approved to businesses that are at least 51% owned by veterans or military spouses. Also, the SBA Veterans Entrepreneurial Act of 2015 reduces the upfront borrowing fee to $0 for eligible veterans and their spouses for SBA Express loans of up to $350,000. And finally, this is a really interesting program. It's called the Military Reservist Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. Now, you know, people in the Reserves and National Guard, they're part-time service members. They have their full-time civilian lives going on, but Uncle Sam can always call them up. And we know during Iraq and Afghanistan wars, some were called up multiple times. Well, this program, called the Military Reservist Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, that's a long title, it provides loans of up to $2 million to cover operating costs that cannot be met due to a loss of essential employees called to active duty in the Guards or the Reserves. That's a really important program I wanted to highlight. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, you know, David, it's great. We got some good information about providing loans for veterans who may want to start up a small business, but some of them may have some training. What sort of business training programs are available through the SBA?
See if Joe may be back on line three. Don, let's see if Joe is back, our caller. Hello, Joe?
Yes.
Good evening. Hey, welcome,
Joe,
to the Veterans News Hour.
Well, thank you.
How are
for
you
having
tonight?
Me. Good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I want to tell you what a fine job Rick did for me. Rick Hurley.
Great. Okay, well, we appreciate that. Anything particular you'd like to share or any questions you have?
I've been fighting since 1947 to get what was getting compensated for what happened to me in the service. And Rick was the one that got the job done for me. And he's still working on it.
Yeah, well, kudos to Rick Hurley, and thank you so much. And thank you, Joe, for your service. Thank you for your service to our country.
It's been a privilege representing you, Joe.
Well,
you enjoyed some great clients.
The job never would have gotten done without you, Rick, because I've been fighting for 70 years, and I didn't get anywhere until you came on my side a year ago, and you got the job done. I'm very happy.
Well, your case is the kind of case that David and I really like to dive into and wrap our hands around and really work, because it requires a little bit of being creative, which is essentially what we did in your case. Not only that, but we found numerous errors and flaws by the VA over years and years of your attempt to get service connected. So it was a combination of David and I finding those flaws and errors, bringing them to the forefront, letting the Board of Veteran Appeals see the errors, and finally they were the ones who we convinced to service connect you for your disabilities. So a lot of hard work, but you hung in there, Joe. And David and I always talk about on our show about the need to be persistent and patient. Well, Joe, I think you're turning 90 on March the 3rd, correct?
So that is correct. You
have been a perfect example of patience and perseverance to ultimately win your claim. So kudos to you too, Joe, for hanging in there, and your wonderful wife for being such a great support for you.
But without you, the job never would have gotten done. I mean, they just tried to put up every roadblock possible, and you just got around it every time. And you really worked this case, Rick. And I appreciate it so much that we pray for you every night, and the dear Lord will give you many, many years, and we'll see what happens here. But thank you for all you did for Joyce and I, and we appreciate all the hard work you did, Rick. And
no problem,
you never
Joe.
Slowed up.
I'll talk to you real soon, and keep those prayers coming. David knows I need them.
Ain't that the truth? Thanks a lot, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night to y'all.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of patience and persistence. Joe's fought for so long, and we were finally able to achieve a result, which, I hate to say this, but, a lot of veterans talk about that, delay, deny, hope you die motto, and I really believe that in Joe's case that could have been the result, but...
Well, I'm glad we succeeded, and kudos to you. Rick, we have another caller on line 4, if she's still there. Rebecca?
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
Hey,
welcome,
Rebecca,
to the Veterans News Hour.
Hey, thank you so much.
How are you tonight? What would you like to discuss?
It's a Monday. it's not really along the lines of necessarily the small business topic, but I wanted to pass along some information to not just Mr. Hurley, but all your listeners. Rick and I had an opportunity last week, January 24th, to go to a town hall meeting in Pensacola with Congressman Matt Gaetz. And one of the things that he mentioned in his talk was that he had assisted in getting, I don't know if exactly a bill, but getting it approved to do research on veterans and how they are helped or affected by cannabis. He's got this research thing that they've got approval to do it, and he said, but you'll never guess what the problem is. We can't find the veteran.
They can't find the veteran.
He said the VAs, most of them, will not talk to veterans about cannabis and its possible uses and benefits. So he said they're not getting the help from the VA side of referring veterans. So he's like, we are all gung-ho and ready to go for this research, but we need veterans. He says, so tell your friends. So I actually have his Pensacola, which is he's the congressman from the 1st District in Florida. I have his Pensacola phone number as well as his D.C. phone number I'd be happy to give.
Yeah, if you would,
that
please.
That would be great. Yeah, please do.
Okay, his Pensacola number is 850 479-1183. And then his D.C. phone number is 202-225-4136. And I believe that he would help, you know, if there was a veteran out there that really wanted to be a part of this research, regardless of whether they were from Florida or not. I don't think
Rebecca,
he would
who
be,
is this
you
again?
Know,
what's the name of this congressman?
Congressman Matt Gaetz. G-A-E-T-Z. Yeah, he's
okay.
Actually the third youngest congressman. He's 35.
I see. And did he say where this research program is being conducted? What organization or institution is doing this cannabis research for veterans?
Wow. I wrote down several of the things that he had helped to work on. Hold on, let me grab my notes here. As far as like the some of the veterans acts and things like the. So.
Oh, was this VA sponsored? In other words, that's what I'm trying.
No,
to
no, this was put on by the Concerned Veterans of America, the CVA.
No, but I mean the research, medical research. Who's doing the medical research, just so veterans know who they'll be dealing with?
I don't know exactly the best thing, because I was looking to see, you just talked about them doing it. What I would probably do is anybody who wanted to contact and try and find out, contact one of those two numbers and say, hey, this information was passed along by another veteran and founder of Winkler's Wish, and we would like to be included. So I get that you're Florida, but how do I get a hold of the person? And if he's been involved in getting it pushed through, his office should be very familiar, you know, and to who they would contact, or it may be that they contact Matt Gaetz and he's able to get him in it.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. That's good. So for our listeners, those that are interested in either participating or learning more about this cannabis study, to use of cannabis for medical treatment of veterans, it's Congressman Matthew Gaetz. Is that correct?
Yes, G-A-E-T-Z. I think it's pronounced Gaetz, but close
enough. Okay, Gaetz. He's from the panhandle area of the state of Florida. And Rebecca, if you want to give out those numbers one more time, I think that would be great, if you would.
Okay, I will. The Pensacola number, which is kind of his local office, is 850-479-1183. And his DC number is 202-225-4136. And he mentioned that in the January 24th of this year's veteran issues that was put on for the Concerned Veterans by the Concerned Veterans of America, the CVA chapter, in case, you know, they would want to say, where did you hear it from? It was a January 24th kind of town hall type of thing.
Very good. Thank you,
you know,
much.
You know, Rebecca, I'm glad you brought this up, because I've had a lot of veterans who come into my office who are suffering from PTSD, and they talk about the frustration that they're having with the VA, getting treatment, getting programs, and how nothing that the VA is doing is helping them. And a lot of them will tell me that they resort to smoking marijuana because it does, in fact, help them cope. And of course, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to say it's a good thing or a bad thing. But the fact is that, you know, there are veterans out there who are turning to alternatives, and one of them is marijuana. So it sounds like it's a good program.
He sounded very positive in that, to him, kind of either taking place tandem with this is the push to get medical marijuana reclassified in its schedule, so it's not considered in the same schedule as heroin and, you know, as a Schedule One, no medical benefits, which he said is really no medical benefits. So it looks like I wrote down the name of this bill is a medical marijuana research bill of 2018, and what I wrote is within weeks. So I don't know if that's when they're putting it up or putting it out for people. So if they're still within a couple of weeks and veterans were to get their names in, they would likely have a pretty good chance of being part of the medical marijuana research bill is what they're going to put forward. So.
Interesting. It's very interesting,
yeah.
Also in light of our Attorney General Sessions, who has come out strongly against the marijuana and has sent letters to all the state attorney generals around the country, asking them to refocus on the whole marijuana issue. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out.
He was very forthright. He told veterans sitting in the group, and nearly all of them, it's the same story, that we try to get an appointment, we can't, and then we get, you know, we're from the Panhandle of Florida, but we've got to drive to Biloxi, or we've got to drive down to Tallahassee, you know, for an appointment. And he said, he told everybody in the group there, he says, I'm telling you right now, probably people from his district, if you're trying to get care from the VA and you're not getting assistance, he said, I want you to call my office. He says, the girls that are there, he says, they're bulldogs. He said, so I want you to call my office so that you don't struggle to get the care that you should be able to get. So I don't think he would be intimidated at all to take whatever veterans that he can get from anywhere for this new research. I don't think he's going to be particular at all. He just, I think, wants to get enough in the research so that if they do go forward with rescheduling it, that he can say there was enough of a test pool. And we actually, we may be going to a legislative roundtable on February 1st up at the Northwest Florida State College with Matt Gaetz again. And if he brings up anything new, I will definitely, you know, call in and let you know. They did advertise it in the Northwest Florida Daily News that the huge veteran lodge that had been talked about a year and a half ago by Greg Evers is going forward. So it's going to be a huge facility. It will house veterans. The potential is to have units there that they can actually bring their families there while they're getting treatment. Then there's supposed to be a section that will merge over into, like, jobs and technical skills. And, I mean, you're talking horses, Olympic-sized pool. So that's huge. Greg Evers had told us about that at Drew's fundraiser in August, that it was coming, and it just hit the newspaper last Wednesday, I believe, Thursday. So.
And, Rebecca, where will that facility be located?
It's going to be out in Dufuniac Springs. It's out at Dufuniac?
Yeah.
It's either Dufuniac or Milton. If you want, I can try and get, Mr. Hurley, I can try and get a copy of the article, if I can get in, just send it down to you, because it's huge. I mean, this is a facility that they can bring their families and stay there with their families.
Wow,
and then they give them skills, they teach them skills, and they will have a limited number of actual job opportunities at the facility. So it's like I'm wanting to say they bought 140 acres to put it on.
Would this be something that, you know, Rebecca, is this facility that you're describing, is it designed that it would help veterans from not just Northwest Florida, but Alabama, Mississippi, I mean, a larger regional area?
Yes. The impression we got is that it's similar to a lot of the others. Like, for example, Rick was able to help facilitate a veteran getting into a training type of program in Colorado. I was able to help a guy who lives in Savannah, Georgia, get into Texas in an in-resident program, and he lived
in
Georgia.
Camp Hope?
So
was that Camp Hope,
yes,
in Texas?
Believe, yeah.
Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got him in there. He was in a very precarious, dangerous state, and we got him down there, and I think he did 6 weeks. But this new facility, my understanding is, it's not necessarily going to be limited to just Florida, but I'm sure it would be at some point in time if they got full, they're full, you know, until
right.
some people move out and stuff. But I will dig and see if I can get some more information, and I'll let Mr. Herb know.
Great. How's the veteran doing that went to Camp Hope in Houston? How's he doing now?
He's doing really good, really good. I reached out to his wife to ask how he was doing, and she said he did very well in the program. And she said, in fact, when I messaged her, she said, tomorrow we're going to set up his counseling here, local at our home. So
wow.
he, you know, yeah, he availed himself of the program, made a positive outcome from it, and now he's going to go to regular counseling there with his family.
Yeah, that's great. We had the director of Camp Hope, David Malsby, on our show back on September 11th of last year, and I was really impressed with everything he said about the program, and he emphasized that that they offer services mm-hmm. to veterans nationwide at no
yeah.
cost. So it's not just a Houston.
Oh, they were amazing. They got yeah. him down there where he was in a facility to keep him safe. They got him, got in, they took him down there, no cost to him, no cost for staying. Mm-hmm. So
we have a client that's currently there.
Well, to say that I personally, it's just me, I personally think that they probably saved his life because he was there. He was right on the brink, his wife said.
Wow.
So, and literally they took him from where he was being kept to be safe straight to the camp in Texas. So
wow.
they didn't let him come home and have any second thoughts. And, yeah, they were really good. And we were very lucky that we know some people that we've dealt with or have dealt with us as Winkler's Wish, and I was able to call up some people and say, hey, I got a veteran. He's at risk. I need to get him into a program. And within an hour, I had the information, and I'm wanting to say from the time we made the first call until he was actually there was less than a week.
Wow. Rebecca, yeah. before we have to go, could you please remind our listeners about Winkler's Wish Foundation and how they can find out more information and participate?
Winkler's Wish Foundation is a foundation that we started in honor of Drew, where he had posted the one of 22 per day, why can't they just help us, goodbye. So we set it up to help with us. We do a peer group mentoring meeting the fourth Monday of every month. We feed them dinner. There's no agenda. It's just be. When we first started, we had maybe 2-3 veterans, same ones coming. The last Monday, January 22nd, we had 14 veterans there.
Wow.
So that's the biggest thing, because there are no peers. There's no type of peer support in Crestview, Florida at all. We've checked. It's just not there. But we had people that came up from Navarre, Fort Walton Beach. We have one that comes from near Dufuniac that comes down to the meeting. So in addition to that, we've had people give us very, very gracious donations. We had an admiral that, before he passed away, let his daughter know that he wanted his scooter, electric scooter, to be donated to a veteran facility. So we got that. We had just this past week, one of our contacts that helps us with stuff, with our Winkler's Wish things, was contacted by a parent that said, hey, we just bought a new car and we'd really like to donate this to a veteran in need. From the time she notified me, we were able to get it. The veteran was in Savannah, Georgia. The car was in Charleston, South Carolina. In less than a week from the time they told me it was available, the veteran went and picked it up. Now we're just finalizing all the paperwork.
Wow.
So basically, you know, we're here. And we may not know all the answers. I don't know all the answers. I joke and say I don't even know all the questions. But what I do have is a very good network of people that we trust, and they trust Winkler's Wish because of dealing with us in the past, that I can reach out and get a veteran what they need, which really that's the other part of our thing, is if we don't have the resources to immediately help you, we're going to help you find something so that... Yeah, right now, our website is still under construction, but if they go to onto Facebook and just type in Winkler's Wish, probably with or without the apostrophe, that is our Facebook page. So if somebody wanted to check it out and learn about that, also, I believe on that page, the address is there in the event that, you know, it's never expected but always appreciated if somebody did want to donate. So just go to Winkler's Wish on Facebook. You'll find out about our son. You'll find out about articles we've posted. Mr. Hurley's advertised, his law firm's on there. And if somebody ever wants to go offline from that, they can just PM me, Rebecca Winkler, directly on Facebook, and we can keep it off of the Facebook thread.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. Rick?
No, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for everything you do there, Rebecca. You're awesome.
Thank you.
And if you're talking to that congressman before we get a chance to tell him about our show, because I'm going to call him and see if he'd like to come on and talk about his research.
Yeah, I'll mention that. And honestly, Mr. Hurley, if you want to, even if there were some issues that if you were able to be there that day that you would want to ask, just shoot me an email and
okay.
Go up, because I'm pretty sure we're able to go. I'll just take him with me.
That's this Thursday, the 1st?
The 1st. It's the 1st at, like, I'm wanting to say it's 6 or 6:30. But, yeah, I've already gone on and said that I'll be going, so... like I said, just shoot me any questions. If any callers have any questions and they want to get them to Mr. Hurley, then he can consolidate them and send them up. You know, I may not be able to ask them all, but I will definitely take them all.
That's great. Well, we really appreciate it. Appreciate everything you do for our veterans. I know you do it in the name of your son, but you're helping a lot of veterans out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for calling us tonight.
Awesome. You guys have a great evening.
You too. Thank you.
You too. Best to Rick.
Well, thanks. Thanks to Rebecca Winkler for calling in. We have other things that we'd like to cover before we wrap up the show tonight, but just one more reminder that for those veterans that are thinking about starting their own business, Small Business Administration has just a ton of great resources. Go to their website, sba.gov/vets. sba.gov/vets. And Rick, let me just move on, if I could, I just want to make another mention of the Burn Pits documentary, which we've talked about in prior shows. I want to make sure we get that in tonight. As our listeners know, we've talked about the Burn Pits documentary. The open burn pits were used by the U.S. military in Iraq and Afghanistan for many, many years. They've caused lung diseases and various kinds of cancers to U.S. troops who were stationed near and close to those burn pits. Greg Lovett, film director and producer, was on our show September 11th, and his film on that topic is entitled Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers. Now, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, please attend the screening of the Burn Pits documentary called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die. It'll be at the Landmark E Street Cinema, Washington, D.C. Mark your calendars, March the 8th, 2018, 7 p.m. These tickets are free, so don't let that, you know, the cost is not going to stop anyone. Free tickets, you can't ask for more. There's about 80 tickets left, so you need to go to the website eventbrite.com. That's event, then B-R-I-T-E.com, eventbrite.com, and you need to search on that website under the films category for the film Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, Landmark E Street Cinema, not too far from the White House, Washington, D.C. Again, that's March the 8th, 2018, 7 p.m. And even if you're not in Washington, D.C., this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the website democracy.io, democracy.io, and you can send an instant message to your representative in the U.S. House of Representatives and your two U.S. senators, and you can ask them to go attend the film or to have one of their staffers attend the film. They can get free tickets as well. And if you're not one that enjoys writing messages, go to the website, go to the Facebook page for the film. Go to Facebook and then type in Burn Pits Documentary, and you'll get the Facebook page that film director Greg Lovett has started, and he's got some posts in there about this Eventbrite screening on March the 8th in Washington, D.C., with some language that you can copy and paste into your message to your representative. It's really important that they see this film. Rick and I have seen the film. We helped bring the film to the Tampa Bay area, and it's important that people see it. You know, the old adage is picture speaks 1,000 words, and so does a film, far more than us just talking about it. So that's my pitch for something that's really important. Rick, over to you.
Well, David, before we go, I know you have some sad news in your own backyard regarding one of our clients, Les Glover, and I know you wanted to kind of talk about Les before the show ended tonight.
Yeah, I did. Thanks for mentioning that. I'd like to take a few minutes to recognize and pay tribute to a Vietnam War veteran and career Army officer, Leslie H. Colgrove, who passed away earlier today. I've known Les for almost 20 years, and I've been representing him for the last 5 years in some matters with the VA. But I wanted to pay tribute to his service. Les has been a supporter also of this show, listened in before, giving us some good positive feedback. A year ago, he invited me to speak before one of his veteran groups. Les served for about 22 years in the Army, two tours of duty in Vietnam, and last year in February, almost a year ago next week, he invited me. It was a big privilege on my part to speak to a reunion of the famous 101st Airborne, and Les had served one of his tours in a unit within that organization in Vietnam. I wanted to pay tribute to Les quickly by letting listeners know what this fine officer did for his country. You know, the Vietnam War is very controversial. It divided the country even more than the country is divided today. And those of you that were alive and old enough to remember know what that was about. But meanwhile, there were hundreds of thousands of Americans that went to Vietnam. Some were drafted, some volunteered. But Les went over as a young Army officer, a lieutenant. And I want to read, to pay tribute to his service, two awards that he received. One was the Army Commendation Medal with a V for Valor device, and the other was filled for the Silver Star, which is, as anyone in the military knows, one of the highest awards that a member of the service can receive, and both were for combat service. So I'd like to first read the citation that Les Colgrove received, and this involved these awards capture 3 days in his life, 3 days within the span of a couple months in Vietnam in 1967. Going back 51 years ago. But here's a citation for Leslie H. Colgrove's Army Commendation Medal with the V device. And I quote, "For heroism in connection with military operations against a hostile force, First Lieutenant Colgrove distinguished himself by exceptionally valorous actions on 17 January 1967 in the Republic of Vietnam. On this day, First Lieutenant Colgrove was leading the reconnaissance platoon as it secured the foot movement of battalion headquarters and the headquarters section to a new command post location. After moving only 500 meters, they came under heavy automatic and semi-automatic sniper fire. First Lieutenant Colgrove immediately and without hesitation moved to the forward elements of his platoon, though doing so required him to move in the open and expose himself to the enemy fire. Once he reached the lead elements, First Lieutenant Colgrove personally directed his platoon in massing their fires on the enemy, and as soon as they gained fire superiority, First Lieutenant Colgrove led a squad through the thick jungle undergrowth and routed the enemy. First Lieutenant Colgrove's actions were in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army." That was one award. Now, the award for Silver Star involves his leadership and actions on March 10th and 11th of 1967. So less than 2 months after the events I just described. And here I will quote citation for the award of the Silver Star. First Lieutenant Colgrove distinguished himself by gallantry and action while engaged in military operations involving conflict with an armed hostile force in the Republic of Vietnam on 10 and 11 March 1967 while serving as reconnaissance platoon leader with the headquarters and headquarters company, 1st Battalion Airborne, 503rd Infantry, 173rd Airborne Brigade Separate. On 10 March 1967, Lieutenant Colgrove was leading his platoon on a search and destroy mission during Operation Junction City when his point man discovered two Claymore mines on a well-used trail. Moving forward, Lieutenant Colgrove was preparing to cut their wires when a Viet Cong force of estimated reinforced rifles squad size began to deliver an intense volley of small arms and automatic rifle fire at a very close range. Without hesitation, he moved courageously through the enemy fire in order to maneuver the rest of his platoon to positions where they could deliver an effective suppressive fire. Calling for an artillery strike as the enemy broke contact, Lieutenant Colgrove observed a wounded Viet Cong to his front. Directing his platoon to lay down a base of fire, he and two men moved through the heavy enemy fire and captured the wounded insurgent. Through his aggressive leadership and valiant determination, no friendly casualties were incurred, while Viet Cong losses included four dead and one prisoner who supplied a great deal of important intelligence information. The next morning, the battalion perimeter was manned by only three weapon platoons, while the three rifle companies were conducting separate search and destroy operations. At 0900 hours, a Viet Cong battalion attacked the southern portion of the perimeter, quickly moving his unit to the attacked sector. Lieutenant Colgrove observed that the enemy was armed primarily with automatic weapons and was beginning to attack the east and west sectors of the perimeter. Leaving his protected position, he moved through the intense enemy fire to the perimeter position, giving encouragement and placing personnel to ensure that there were no weak points through which the enemy could break. Moving repeatedly across open areas, Lieutenant Colgrove was forced to the ground several times as the hostile fire came dangerously close. His quick thinking and forceful actions were the determining factor in routing a numerically superior enemy force. First Lieutenant Colgrove's extraordinary heroism was in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflects great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army, unquote. So I wanted to read those just to capture 3 days in the life of Leslie Colgrove, who passed away earlier today at the VA hospital in Tampa. It's my privilege to have known him for almost 20 years. He was a friend, and he'll be missed by many people. My condolences to his widow and to his children. And that's all I wanted to say. And, Rick, we're about running out of time, so before we wrap up, any thoughts?
Very heroic man there, I'll tell you. Thanks for sharing that, David.
Yep.
And before we wrap up for tonight, we'd like to remind our listeners about the Coaching Into Care program. If you are a family member of a veteran who has left the service and is having a rough time transitioning to civilian life, please be aware of the Coaching Into Care program. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching Into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call, toll-free 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, VA's Coaching the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. Let us also not forget and remind our listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you, David.
Well, it's been a quick hour. I hope it's been informative. We thank our callers. We thank our producers at BBS Radio. Mr. Don Newsom and Doug Newsom. We invite our listeners to become show guest sponsors and advertisers. Check out our show website, bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. Please tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.